there is a word that's been kind of flowing around the inside of me just the last couple of weeks. And that word, you might laugh right off the bat like, Rob, are you kidding me right now? But the word is celebrate. The word is celebrate. And it's just kind of this word that's flowing around on the inside of me. And so this last couple of weeks been, I guess, digging in and really, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me through this word of celebrate? But really, I want to talk about the joy of the Lord. And I believe that the joy of the Lord is an amazing thing. That for us, I look back to 2017, and for many, and I don't mean to put a big light on it either, but for many, 2017 was a really tough year. There's a lot of problems, a lot of things that happened in 2017. And yeah, sure, whatever the last year was, 2016. You just write whatever you want on the end of my statements, and it'll be great. So 2016 was a tough year for a lot of people. And hopefully 2017 wasn't tough so far, because we're not too far into it. But one of the things that I think is really important for us to understand is that when hard times come, and I'm going to put a very big emphasis on when hard times come, there's an attitude that we need to have to respond. And I believe that attitude is the word celebrate. Amen? And I'm going to go a little bit further into what that means, but what is the joy of the Lord? What does Scripture say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So a lot of people feel in despair. A lot of people feel burdened. A lot of people feel like there's hard stuff going on around them. And I want to encourage you, where do we look? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so the joy of the Lord, I want to encourage you that where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Lord, right? Joy has nothing to do with our happiness, although it does, right? So the joy of the Lord is one of those things that it's an attitude. When we're serving God and when we're connected to God, it's His joy that flows through us. But that doesn't start from God. It starts from us connecting to God. Does that make sense? I'm going to go a little bit further into what that means. And the word for me today that I'm going to just keep on saying is celebrate. I want to encourage us to celebrate. In the Old Testament, celebrate was one of those things that God actually commanded them to do. Right? There's lots of different scriptures. You look in Exodus, after they were delivered from different things, God basically commanded them to go and build these memorials and to celebrate and to have these feasts, right? Built around food, which I love celebrating with food. That's one of my favorite ways to celebrate. But to celebrate, and why was that? I believe it's because you're going to go through stuff. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through problems. And celebration causes you to change your focus. Right? One of the things I love about the New Year, and New Year's one of my just favorite times of the year, honestly, because it causes us to change our focus. It causes us to think about something different. No matter how bad your 2016 was, it causes us to change our focus. So we all get together, we have the parties, we celebrate, right? We think about 2017 is going to be great, so we're going to celebrate. 2016's over, 2016, 17, here we come, right? I don't know why I keep on like mixing those two up. I haven't written it wrong all year long, all however many days that we're into it. But celebration is this, the practice of bringing joy into our lives. The practice of practicing, I'll say it this way, even the joy of the Lord. If you're not celebrating, I encourage you to throw a party. If you've got junk going on in your life, I encourage you to throw a party. If you got good stuff going on in your life, I encourage you to celebrate and to throw a party, because it's an attitude. In a couple of weeks on a Sunday morning, I think it's the 29th, I'm going to be speaking, and I'm going to be talking about our attitude. And there's five attitudes that I believe that a Christian needs to have in their life to be successful as a Christian. And it's that attitude. But how many of you guys know that attitude equals altitude is one of the things that said a lot, right? I love it. So Leah's on the same page, and that's good. But our attitude really determines what we're focusing on, really determines how high we can go. And so celebration is one of those things. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I want to encourage us in this. Lots of times, and maybe this isn't for anyone in the room because we're pretty solid on this, but it's a reminder anyway. God is not a God who brings burdens to our life, right? God is a God of joy. God is a God of peace. God is a God of love, right? God's not a God who wants to pack some stuff on you that you can't handle. right? Scripture is very clear that says that you're not ever going to go through anything that you can't handle through him, right? That's my way of saying it. But when it comes to God, God is a God who loves us and who wants there to be joy in our life. So sometimes we ask the question, well, man, why is all this stuff happening then? And why is there no joy? And why is there so many problems? And why is all this kind of stuff? I encourage you in this, and Jesus said it very clearly, you're going to go through stuff, right? When you go through stuff, how are you going to react to it? And again, this is my way of saying, but how are we going to react to it? And I want to encourage us again that celebration is the way that we react. I'm going to show us some scriptures today. I think that if we look to God as a God of burden, or a God who's up on his throne just waiting to throw lightning bolts at us, or a God who is just trying to drag us along with a leash, or the God who says, don't. If we see God as the don't God, we're going to misinterpret who God really is. God's not a God of don'ts, right? God's not a God of, Christianity isn't supposed to be, at least, a religion of don'ts, right? God is a whosoever God, a whosoever will type of a God. And I want to encourage us in this, that when we see God from the perspective that he wants to bring you joy, he wants to see joy in your life, he wants, what is he? He's the God of peace, right? When he wants peace in your life rather than chaos, we're going to look to him in a different light. But I want to encourage us in this as well, that when we, and this is going to be one of my points, but when we obey, that's when joy comes. When we live a life of obedience to God, joy comes in our life. And I want to encourage us in this. This is an example I use sometimes, but as a parent, sometimes my kids could look at me as the ogre dad who's not letting them have fun because I won't go and let them play in the street, right? And we look at God like that sometimes, like God says, don't go play in the street because you're going to get hurt, right? Use whatever example of sin or whatever example of whatever you want to in that. Don't go do this, because here's the consequence. And when we hear that sometimes, we think God is just this, God doesn't want me to have fun. I want to encourage us in this, that God is a fun God. I want to change our focus from the perspective that God is an exciting God. You know that Jesus, sometimes people thought that he was, the scripture says, a wine bibber, right? They just thought that he was just kind of drunk sometimes and just doing his thing. Why is that? He was the life of the party. He was a fun guy. I don't think Jesus was this serious guy who just always took everything seriously and do what I say. Jesus was a fun guy. So I think of that in my life, and I have to ask myself the question in 2017, is Rob a fun guy? Is Rob, honestly, I mean, maybe this isn't super spiritual at all, but is Rob a fun guy? Is Rob someone who the world would enjoy to be around? Or when I'm around the world, does the world see the joy of the Lord? Or does the world see some staunch guy who, in other words, the way we see God sometimes, who's throwing lightning bolts, who's throwing judgment, who's throwing problems? Or does the joy of the Lord flow out of me? Amen? It's kind of like the ladies' conference is the salt and light, right? That's what it's called. Are we salt? Are we flavor to the world? Does the world see the joy out of the Lord oozing out of us? There's a good word for you, right? Does the world see joy oozing out of us? Or do they see people who are just not fun, right? Right? Okay, I'm just making sure everyone's even awake. But I want to encourage us in this, that Jesus, I think, so Jesus was popular with kids. Why is that? Kids like to have fun. I think they trusted him, but I think there was something about Jesus that he was approachable. He was exciting. He was fun. I want to encourage us as Christians to just maybe step back. And I'm talking to myself here as well. This isn't me pointing fingers, but to step back and to check ourselves and to ask the question, is the joy of the Lord flowing out of us? Is there celebration flowing out of our hearts? Or when we get around people from the world, what do they see? Amen. I think that's a really, really important question to ask. So I'm going to give just a couple of points tonight, and we're going to be out of here, of how to practice joy in our lives. Can we do that? Practice joy in our lives. Number one, practice seeing the good in things. I think it's important as Christians that we practice seeing the good in things, right? Paul was a great example. One of the things that I that you could probably preach 1,000 sermons on this one statement. But to count it all joy when you're going through various trials, Paul said, right? What does that mean, to count it all joy when you're going through various trials? What was that? What was the purpose of that? I honestly believe that it was the way he was looking at things, right? The trial itself didn't mean it was fun. When you're going through a trial, and when you hear that scripture, maybe put that in the category of your life, but look back at the way Paul lived as well. What happened in Paul's life? A lot, right? How many times was he in shipwrecks? You put me in one shipwreck, and that's the last time I'm sitting in a boat. You know what I mean? Let alone multiple shipwrecks. Imprisoned, beat, stoned, into the position to where that they thought he was dead. Professional killers thought this guy was dead, right? We're talking he's been through so many things, and his statement is, I count it all joy when I go through various trials. That one's a big one. That's a tough one, right? What is that? It's a perspective. It's an attitude. It's a way of looking at something. He could look at the problems. He could have looked, Pastor Lynn used the example, if he's in prison, and many of us, we would go to prison or whatever, and we would just sit there and mope and cry in our own soup or whatever, right? But what was Paul doing? Paul's response was, I'm going to praise the Lord. Come on, guys, we're going to get together. We're going to rejoice. We're going to have a party, and we're going to worship God in here, in the middle of the prison. What is that? That's seeing the good, right? It's changing our perspective. It's changing our focus to good stuff. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God. It has nothing to do with sticking our head in the sand, right? It's not this thing that, well, if we don't look at the problem, then the problem won't be there. Many times Christians get that wrong idea, right? But it's the idea that when we can go through the problem, and I believe this, look at the problem and say, all right, what am I going to do with this problem? We can look, there's two things you can do when you go through something. You can look at the problem and the junk and the hard stuff, or we can ask ourselves the question, what is this going to produce on the inside of me? And I believe that's what Paul did. When we go through problems and tough times, I'm not saying that it's fun at all, but there's been some problems and stuff that I've gone through in my life that when I look back now in my life, I can rejoice and I can almost say, I am so glad that those things happened in my life. Why is that? Because my character grew. Because it took me closer to Christ, right? You can do two different things in your life. You can allow the situations and the problems and the circumstances to create bitterness, to create more problems, to draw you away from God, or you can allow the situations and the circumstances to build character and to draw you towards God and to allow God to do more in your life. I believe that's what Paul talks about when he says, I want to count it all joy when I go through various problems and trials and situations. Why is that? Because when we go through them, on the other side of it, something happens, right? Or we could be the people who, when they go through the valley of the shadow of death, what happens? They camp there, and they think about it, and they stay there, and they build a house there, and they, you know what I mean by that? In our lives, I want to encourage us, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we're going through the valley because we're focused on the other side. We're focused on, God, what are you going to do on the inside of me in this valley? So 2017, I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. Not just because I believe it's going to be all hunky-dory and roses and all that kind of fun stuff, because there's going to be some stuff that happens in 2017. That's not a lack of faith statement. That's just Jesus himself would say it that way, I believe. Problems are going to come, but what are we going to do? I believe in 2017, I'm going to grow in God this year. I want to grow closer to him this year. I want the trials and the things that come. Maybe that sounds, however you want to hear it with your ears, maybe that sounds like a negative, but I'm going to say it this way. When the stuff comes, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to follow him. I'm ready for when whatever happens, I believe that good stuff is going to take place in it. Amen. What are we focused on? What are we looking at? Amen. Paul, count it all joy when you go through trials. I think it was Mr. Rett. I wrote this down a long time ago, and I don't remember where I heard it, but I think it was in one of Mr. Rett's sermons, and I think she said it like this, but are you an anteater or a butterfly? I don't know if it sounds like something she said. I never put her name next to it. But are you an anteater or a butterfly? And I just ask myself that question in my life. Sometimes I can be the anteater. The anteater is looking to go and bite some ants' heads off, right? It's cynical. It's negative. It's that one that's looking for the problems. I can be very, very cynical. Maybe it's part of my personality. I can see the problems. I can see the issues. That's just me. So I'm preaching to myself here that the butterflies are wanting to just fly around and look for flowers and look for fun stuff and look at the trees and look at the good things. The anteaters are looking for someone's head to bite off, right? I want to encourage us this year, if you're on that side of it, of the anteater, closer to where I am, I want to encourage you, let's check ourselves in that. What's our attitude? What are we looking at? What are we focused on? They're both in the forest. They're both, I don't know if anteaters are in the forest, actually. I have no clue where anteaters live. But wherever they are, they're both in the same spot, right? But what are they focusing on? Focusing on two different things. And I just encourage us, let's make sure that we're focusing on the good stuff. David, I think, is a great example. Pastor Lynn used this. Pastor Jeremy, a couple weeks ago, used this. David, when you read the Psalms, what do you see? You see, so he wasn't a go stick his head in the sand kind of a guy, right? He wasn't the, there's no issues going on around me. You want to see issues, look at David's life, right? But on the other side of it, what did David do? He always started like this. Oh man, woe is me. The world's out to get me. And it wasn't just this, the world's out to get me, like some philosophy he had. Literally, the world was out to get him, right? The world was literally taking his family away from him, taking everything that he owned. They were out to get him, right? So he would start out that way, woe is me. The world's out to get me. There's enemies on every side of me. This is a reality in his life. But he very quickly got to praise. He very quickly got to, I'm even going to use the word celebrate, if you will. He began to get in that spot to where he could say, man, in the midst of this problem, in this situation, God, you're good. You've delivered me from the bear. You delivered me from the giant. You delivered me from the lion. You delivered me from these things. And this is the pep talk that you hear him telling himself. But God, you've always been faithful. So by the time he was done, he was kind of excited and ready to roll out there and go kill some enemy and take his family back, right? He got to that spot. And I think many times in our lives, our attitude is not celebration for good reasons, right? David's attitude was celebration, but why? Because he changed his focus. He changed what he was looking for. He was looking at, God, you've been good. God, it's all about you. God, you're amazing. And when he began to do that, what happens? The joy of the Lord was his strength. Because he was looking at different things. Because he was focused on God. Amen. So what are we looking at? I want to encourage us in this. Even read it on your own, but 2 Samuel 16. Great story. So Absalom is coming after him and doing all this kind of stuff. And on the very end of it, the scripture in verse number 12, it says, it may be, and this was his attitude towards everything that just happened, all kinds of junk. It may be that the Lord will look on my afflictions and that the Lord will repay me with good for this cursing in this day. I want to encourage us that we can go through the problems. We can go through the stuff. And I'm telling you, when your son wants to kill you, that's a pretty bad day, right? When you're going literally to that extreme, that's a bad deal. But from the perspective of David, he was able to get to the spot that said, you know what, maybe on the other side of this, God wants to bless me more than where I am right now. Can we get to that spot? I think that's an attitude that we need to have, that when we're going through problems and situations, we can grumble about it, or we can say, God, what do you have for me on the other side of this? I know that you think good thoughts towards me, Jeremiah 29:11. You've got a plan for me. You've got a future and a destiny for me. God, what are you thinking towards me? You got good stuff, right? So these problems, these situations, this valley that I'm going through, on the other side of this, man, this must be good stuff. I've got some family members who live out of state and maybe a little bit of different theology in some way, so I'm not saying I fully believe this, but they had a house fire, And when their house, it was literally on Christmas Eve, a few years, like 10 years ago. So Christmas Eve, they have this house fire. Their house burns almost all the way down to the ground. And I'll never forget the response. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks, honestly. And the response was this. And again, I don't fully believe this because I don't believe God burned down their house, okay? But the response was, all right, God, you burned down my house. That must mean that you've got amazing things for my life. That must mean that my future has a better house in store for me because that was your house and it's gone. So therefore, you must have some amazing things. Now, when I don't believe that God burned down their house, what I do believe is that that he wants to work out everything for the good of those who love him, Scripture says, right? So what's the attitude we have? What would be your response in that situation? First off, it would probably be junk. Our house just burned down on Christmas Eve, right? That would be a big bummer. But could we get to the spot in our life where our response is, all right, God, you knew this was going to happen, right? One of my favorite statements that Pastor Lynn uses is nothing knocks God off his throne. Jesus doesn't sit next to the Father and go, wow, did you know that was going to happen? Wow, I didn't see that one coming, right? He knows these things are happening in our life. So can we quickly or more quickly get to a response that says, all right, God, I'm trusting in you. You've got good stuff for my life. You've got a future for my life. Amen. Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can we have that attitude? Joy's coming, right? I'm looking towards the joy that God has for me. Tough right now. Stuff going on around me. Battle taking place. But it only lasts for a moment because joy's coming. Can we have that attitude in our lives? That's an attitude that we need to have. Amen. Positive stuff. David thought good stuff. He directed his thoughts in a different direction. And I use this example a lot, but I'm going to continue to use it because I think it's one of my favorite examples. But a friend of mine in Washington says this quite often, but he says we need to build a positive bank account. And I love that picture because for most people, money is kind of up there as far as like it's a priority. If you don't make it, you don't eat, all that fun stuff, right? So you visualize the fact that if there's no money in your account, you go negative. You're pulling from nothing. And I believe a lot of times for us as Christians, we're pulling from a negative account. There's no God in us. God lives in us, but there's no him in us, if that makes sense. We haven't been spending time with him. We haven't been in his word. We haven't been praying. We haven't been doing those things that fills us up, that puts us in the positive, right? So when we're trying to pull this joy out, it's not coming out. Why is it not coming out? Well, there's I guess it's not a philosophy. It's a fact that what goes up must come down, right? There's that fact. I believe the fact spiritually is what goes in must come out, right? So are we putting God stuff in us? Are we putting his stuff in us? If God's not going in, then God's not coming out, right? We're not going to ooze the joy of the Lord if we're not putting the Lord in. Does that make sense? So what are we putting on the inside of us? What are we putting in us? Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good stuff. What does that mean? That person's put good on the inside of him, right? The evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do we have an abundance of God in us? Do we have an abundance of him? What is our positive bank account, in other words? What does our God account look like? Is God going in so we've got something that we can pull out? Amen? I believe that's very important. Number two, I'm going to roll right through this. I've already said this a little bit, but number two, change our focus. What did Pastor Lynn say? Flip the lens. Sunday morning sermon was awesome. And I loved, how many of you guys liked the selfie deal, right? For those of us who are in my generation, probably even more, it drives me nuts, people who take selfies, by the way. But I'm not saying that to you because none of you do that. So I'll say it this way. Changing the focus from us to him. If the focus is on us, there's only so much joy that Rob's going to bring to Rob's life, right? But when the focus is on him and I flipped the lens, what happens? I'm focusing on him and his goodness and his stuff. And Pastor Lynn obviously is talking about focusing on people, and that's part of it as well. But I believe this, if we're not focusing on God and filling ourselves up, it's going to be really, really hard to go and love people and to encourage people. Because how do we love with the love of God? By spending time with God, allowing the love of God to flow through us. Amen. So I encourage us in that. Change our focus. What are we looking at? What are the things that we're facing? Are we facing those things and looking at the problems, looking at the situations, looking at ourselves and looking at our weaknesses? Or are we seeing who we are in Christ and changing our focus to who he is through us? Amen. Flip the lens. Number three, ask this question. Ask yourself frequently, does it matter? Does it matter? You guys know that in our life, we focus on a lot of stuff in the midst of situations and circumstances and problems that sometimes when we look back, we go, oh, that even happened? But at the time, it was a big deal, right? At the time, sometimes our problems are so big and in our face that we think this is going to take us out. And I believe if we could step back sometimes and see how big that problem really is, it's not a big deal. Asking ourselves the question, does it really matter? Ask this in your marriage, please. I'm talking to myself here as well. Does it really matter? You guys know that some of the biggest problems in marriage have nothing to do with infidelity, have nothing to do with those huge problems that marriages go through. Most of the time, they start with, he threw his clothes on the floor and it drives me nuts. Or they squeeze the toothpaste in the middle of the toothpaste thing and now I've got to roll it up, right? Those are the big issues that most marriages go through, right? And what are we focusing on? We joke about that and it's goofy, but I guess if you leave your clothes on the floor enough times, it becomes a big issue, right? So don't get me wrong there. Clean up your clothes, men, right? But I'll say it this way. What are we focused on? Ask yourself, is it important? How many in 13 years of marriage, I think back to the arguments that my wife and I have had, and the majority of them, if we had stepped back and said, asked the question, does it really matter, would not have ever happened, right? Most arguments take place from not asking ourselves, does this really matter? Is this really a big deal? Does it really matter that she squeezes the toothpaste in the wrong spot? Drives you nuts? Does it really matter, right? So in life, we make big issues of things. We make big problems of things. We get stressed over some stuff that sometimes if we were to step back and ask the question, does it really matter? It doesn't bring us joy in our life. So if we ask that question, does it really matter? What matters? God stuff, right? What matters in life? Sometimes we can stress over things that have nothing to do with God, have nothing to do with his plan for our life. Again, it's a change of focus. What are we looking at? Are we looking at stuff that matters? Greg Fritz, one of my favorite speakers of all time, was here a few years ago, almost 5 years ago, I guess, but his deal was make the main thing the main thing. Are we making the main thing the main thing? Are we putting the right focus on the big stuff, on the stuff that God really has in our life? When we do that, what happens? I believe joy comes. When we're following after God's plan, we're following with him, right? When you're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is joy, guess what? Joy comes with it. What are we focusing on? What are we looking at? And are we asking that question, is it important? And then the last one, number four, and I believe this is honestly one of the main keys, but practicing a life of obedience will bring the joy of the Lord in our life. Amen? The long-term solution is practicing obedience. Shortcuts in life don't work, right? I'll even say it this way. How many millionaires do you know that won the lottery? Probably not very many, right? How many people do you know that are highly successful who accidentally stepped into it? They thought through it. There was a process. Pastor Lynn's, one of my favorite sermons over the last 20 years of my life, was his process-based living over event-based living. Are we looking at something to bring joy? That one thing, if I can just get there, if I can just have that, if I can just achieve this, if I can just whatever, is going to bring me joy? Or is it a matter of when I follow the principles of God's word, when I do what God asks me to do, when I take step by step the things that he has for me, guess what happens? Joy comes. Because you're following in the process of what God has for your life. Amen? We can't live for ourselves all week long and then come to church on Sunday and expect a life filled with joy. But I honestly believe, and I'll put myself in that same category sometimes, I honestly believe that's where most Christians are on a regular basis. We're looking for joy, we want joy, but we're doing our own thing in our own way, and then we show up to church on Sunday and we ask God, why is my life crazy? Why is so many things happening around me? Why is all of this happening? Why? And it's because if we follow the principles of God's word, it's not an A, B, C, D, and you're going to get E, right? So don't get me wrong there, but when we follow the principles of God's word, the joy of the Lord comes along with it. John 15:10-11. John 15:10-11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have spoken to you that my joy remain in you and that your joy may be full. If we want the joy of the Lord in our heart, if we want our joy to be full, what do? We obey his commandments. Again, it goes back to what I talked about right at the very beginning. Do we see God as the God who says, don't go play in the street because I don't want you to have fun? Or do we see the God that says, when you do this, and when you do this, and when you do this, my blessings come along with it because I love you and I want to see you blessed. So do this and do this and do this. And when you do this, guess what happens? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And he's going to be right alongside you. Amen. True joy comes from obeying Christ. True joy comes from a process of loving him and serving him. And when the tough times come, he's right there with you because he's in you and he's by your side and he's going to help you. Amen? So just reminders, guys, this is stuff for me, okay? These are things for me that when my attitude is looking at the negative, what do? Well, I'm obviously focused on the wrong stuff. I need to be focused on God's stuff. I need to be filling myself with his word. I need to be filling myself with his stuff so that when the troubles come and the problems come, what's going to happen? Well, I'm right alongside with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with my daddy, right? We're walking side by side, and he's got good stuff for my life, and the joy of the Lord's going to flow from that. Amen? All right, let's pray.